Raheem Morris back to work today at Flowery Branch, meeting the media to break that down and all things latest on your Dirty Birds. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in Will McFadden, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Will, appreciate the time. As always, let's start with a little injury update. Two key guys we're waiting to hear on. What did we hear about Darnell Mooney and A.J. Terrell?
Yeah, I'll start with the second name there first, Chris, because that's really the one we've got an update on. And it seems like, you know, he didn't go all the way out and say AJ is coming back. You know, he said Raheem Morris, when I say he, said that the Falcons could take the decision all the way up until game time. But he did say that they feel good about the possibility that AJ Terrell can return for obviously an important game against a really good offense. They expect him to be able to practice throughout the week. And, you know, as he said, they'll make the decision kind of all the way up to game time. But I would expect and keep an eye on the injury report on AtlantaFalcons.com throughout the week. If he's at least a limited participant throughout the week, and if at any point he's kind of a full participant, I might like his chances, again, just kind of knowing this matchup. And then when it comes to Darnell Mooney, you know, Raheem didn't give a very clear update on that other than, you know, they're going to kind of watch him throughout the week and see where he's at. He obviously left the week four game against Washington with a hamstring in the third quarter. So it's been kind of a tough, I think, start, obviously, with the shoulder and now the hamstring for Darnell. They would love to have him out there and be healthy, but hamstrings are tricky. So that's kind of the latest on those two guys. It sounds good maybe on the AJ Terrell front, and then Darnell is a little bit more wait and see.
Was there any discussion today or even before today from Raheem or the coaching staff about preparing for this unique bye week, considering how long it is and how they're planning to ramp the guys back up to play?
Yeah, that's a great topic that I'm sure, you know, obviously the coaching staff has plans in place for all things like this, right? They're going to have a trip to Berlin later this year. So it's like all of these are things when you first get the schedule and we all go through, you know, jerks like me are like, all right, wins and losses, let's go ahead and do it. The actual teams are kind of looking at it from a logistics standpoint. So you're right, this is a weird week coming off the bye and then having a Monday night game. So today, for all intents and purposes, was kind of a Monday for the Falcons, even though it's a Tuesday. So tomorrow is a Wednesday, but it's a player off day because they're going to treat it like a Tuesday. So everything's kind of getting bumped back this week. So they're going to kind of try to keep a regular in-season cadence and have kind of the same rest time between, you know, that Saturday walkthrough will now happen on Sunday, like little things like that. So I don't know specifically from like a physical and conditioning standpoint and, you know, are they going to go heavier in practice or not? Like that's probably a little too in the weeds. But it is something that they're bumping everything back a little bit just because of the primetime game.
When it comes to the game plan versus Buffalo, I think one thing is abundantly clear, and that is if they're going to win this game, Will, the running game is going to need to be at the forefront.
Absolutely. And I kind of actually thought that was one of my favorite parts of Raheem Morris's press conference today, which, again, you're free to go watch him on the Atlanta Falcons YouTube channel, and you can disagree or agree with him on your own. That's not for me to sit here and tell you what to believe, but I liked the confidence that he displayed while he was talking about the Atlanta Falcons run game. And it was kind of brought up to him with the pistol formation and just like the usage rates and tendencies and all of that. And he kind of was like, yeah, look, when you've got a good run game, it's a little bit of like, you know, what's coming, go ahead and stop us. Right. And I like that bravado a little bit because the Falcons do have the type of unit to back this up. Right. When we were looking at the Matt Ryan, Mike Mularkey offenses in 2008 and 2010, there wasn't much mystery about what was coming. It was Michael Turner kind of right downhill running behind, you know, Harvey Dahl and Tyson Klebo, right? So there is some of that, I think, to this Atlanta offense. They do have a little bit more set dressing, which is part of the design of everything, but in this matchup, having a run game like Atlanta does to be able to not just dictate pace, but hopefully wear the Bills down, right? If Atlanta's defense is able to create a turnover or two, kind of like the Patriots were able to do in their win against Buffalo, then you really think Atlanta, which has dominated time of possession in kind of all of these games, can have a nice little path to maybe emerging with a victory in this game. So the run game is going to be at the forefront of that. When you've got Bijan Robinson, that makes all the sense in the world. And then you let Michael Penix Jr. play off of that.
What, if anything, you just mentioned the Patriots, do you think that they gleaned from film study about how they were able to stop the high-powered offense that coming into that game, Will, was averaging 33 points a game?
Yeah, it's, you know, I was trying to kind of figure that out as I was watching in real time, and I'll be honest, I haven't had the chance to go back and watch that game in the All-22, so I'll stay away from kind of the schematic stuff. I think just in the sense of the game, I feel like they were taking away really what the Bills wanted to do, and you almost sense Chris Collinsworth, I feel like, frustration at times calling the game. He was like, look, you've got some awesome players, just use them, like iso ball a little bit. And it kind of felt like the Bills went into this wanting to get some of their weapons, some of their tertiary weapons involved and get them jump-started a little bit. I do think what I've seen is Dalton Kincaid is operating a little bit more as a safety blanket for Josh Allen, not in the sense that he's like a check down guy, but kind of more in the when things break down, who is somebody that he's kind of looking his way often. So I think that's going to be a really nice matchup between Divine Diablo and Dalton Kincaid. And can they come away on third downs with some stops, maybe in those areas where if you're able to flush Josh Allen out of the pocket, you know, then plaster your guys downfield. And Divine Diablo is amazing at that. And then a real kind of X factor for me that is unlike really anything that the Patriots had defensively. And that's maybe the defenses are just a little bit different to me, Chris. So that's kind of why I don't know if there's a ton that you truly carry over. But Jalen Walker is going to be a little bit of an X factor in my mind, just because when I'm trying to think of like who is an athlete that you could potentially have spying on Josh Allen, Jalen Walker is a guy that I love in that role. So he is unique. The Patriots don't really have a guy like him. So for that reason, I think Atlanta can get a little bit fancy and disguisey here with Josh Allen.
Talking all things Atlanta Falcons, Buffalo Bills with Will McFadden, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Make sure you check out all his work there. You mentioned the linebacking crew. I think they were maybe the most underlooked, maybe under-evaluated group going in because of all the other question marks about the rookies. But you just mentioned Divine Diablo. I think between he and Caden Ellis, and I guess we'll see what happens with Troy Anderson, but I think they've been one of the better groups at their position in the entire NFL.
Absolutely. And it was one of those where it was, you know, it's something ever since the Saints, when they kind of hit on DeMario Davis and they hit on a couple of linebackers in particular, even, you know, when Terry was with them, I was kind of like, man, he's got something with linebacker. And then like just being able to identify, you know, I don't know if that is Terry Fondo, if that's Ryan Poles, if that's, you know, whoever, it's probably a collaboration of everybody in the front office. But for whatever reason, like they're at the linebacker position and identifying guys who are a little bit uncovered gems, because that is what Caden Ellis was. And that is what Divine Diablo is. So for that reason, once they made that move for Divine Diablo, he was the first guy in free agency I flicked the tape on for. You know, I was like, I want to kind of see why they chose to bring him in here, because Caden Ellis is such a Swiss Army knife player that you really want to have a rock solid guy next to him. And I felt like they thought that he could be an upgrade in coverage, which I really think he has been over Nate Landman. And Nate Landman's been amazing in LA, so that's not a slight to Nate Landman in the least. But his length and his just safety feel, because he played safety in college, is awesome there in the middle of the field. But really, Divine Diablo's run defense is the first thing that jumped out to me when I first turned it on back in March, because he is like so fast at diagnosing the play as it's happening. Then he is really nimble at evading blockers and just kind of like knifes in there. So he really offers the the full package. He just kind of happened to play for a team that not many people have been watching that much in the Las Vegas Raiders. So really glad that Divine Diablo is in the red and black now, because watching him next to Caden Ellis not only makes the defense better, but it's just really, really fun out there.
Any reason to believe Parker Romo's not kicking on Monday night?
At this time, no. I would, again, anything can happen. And with Wednesday kind of being a Tuesday, like, who knows? But at this point, I would bet the status quo remains.
Yeah, it seems like at this point, it'll be his own fault, I guess is the nicest way to put it, if he no longer kicks based on the status of what went down over the last couple of weeks. When we look at the wide receiving core, we obviously are talking about this matchup. How much of it now with Darnell Mooney, even if he plays, obviously we don't think he's going to be 100%. How much can we expect more based on the way he's positively performed so far this season to be put on the plate of Kyle Pitts? I think based on what we've seen, Will, I would throw it to him more.
You know, that's exactly as you were asking that question, and I was kind of like, all right, I think this is where he's going with it. Kyle Pitts was going to be my guy, right? I do think he's earned and shown you that, yeah, you can lean on him maybe a little bit more than you have, and maybe to the level that fans have always hoped that you could, because he really did show me something, I think, on that third down play, not only because of the magnitude of the moment, but, you know, you talk about getting grabbed, illegal contact, pass interference, all that stuff. And then Michael Penix didn't really, I feel like, change where he was going to put that ball. Even though Kyle Pitts got grabbed, it kind of felt like Michael Penix was throwing it to where he was always expecting Kyle Pitts to be. And Kyle Pitts still got there, which that kind of showed me everything, where it's like, yep, that is the guy that everybody kind of wanted coming out of Florida. It's what he looked like his rookie year. He snatched the ball out of the air with a little bit of attitude, as in, like, this is a big moment, give it to me. So if he can build on that and continue to show that consistently week in and week out, then, yeah, you do have another option if a player like Darnell Mooney is out, if Drake London has to miss any time and Darnell's back. Like, when you start looking at just the two wide receivers who are the number one receivers for Atlanta, now you can maybe expand that a little bit and say, okay, they've got the three that you were always hoping they would have, because Kyle Pitts has elevated his game to that level. So in addition to Bijan, in addition to Tyler Algier, if Kyle Pitts can become that kind of de facto number two receiver, if you're down a Darnell Mooney, that will be huge for this offense.
Will, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game on Monday. We'll chat soon.
Of course, Chris, anytime.